That sound you're hearing is coming from a Jew's harp, played by Seattle's Gordon Fraser. Here at the 20th anniversary North American Jew's Harp Festival, there's a lot of twangy music in the air. About 50 people are milling around the local art center, attending workshops and plucking out everything from Siberian folk melodies to Broadway show tunes. And, of course, old-time fiddle music. But if you haven't heard of the Jew's Harp, you're not alone. Deirdre Morgan is an ethnomusicologist in Vancouver, BC, and executive director of the Jew's Harp Guild. But she didn't even know what a Jew's Harp was when she first saw one.
I thought it was a bike tool or a screwdriver or something, and I found out it was a musical instrument, and I thought, oh, it's that thing that I've heard in the background of old-time music. I didn't know what it was called, so I Googled the words twangy mouth instrument.
Morgan has since become an expert, writing her master's thesis on an Asian Jew's harp. She explains how they work.
It's a fairly simple principle. It's a tongue or a lamella that you flick and it goes do-yo-yo-yo-yo-yo-ing. And it's only one more step to bring the twig up to your mouth and it gets all these different pitches.
The Jew's harp always has that constant fundamental note of the lamella. That's what gives it a droning sound, like a bagpipe. But it's what you do with your mouth that changes things. California player Dan Gossie explains.
If you open up your esophagus, you get the lower notes, and if you make your mouth a real tight, small cavity, you get the higher notes, but basically you're the instrument.
Because the Jew's harp is so simple, versions of it have cropped up across the globe. And Deirdre Morgan says that its pocket size helped it spread.
It was definitely traded a lot along the Silk Road from northern China, Russia, Mongolia, Siberia, down through India and all the stands, Afghanistan, into Europe. And then the European harps were the ones that were brought over to North America.
And you can find all of these versions at the festival. There's the Filipino kubing, made of bamboo. The Chinese ho-ho, with a different brass plate for each key. And the Balinese gengong, where you pluck the lamella by snapping a string. Despite the different shapes, sizes, and materials, all of these Jew's harps clearly belong to the same twangy family. But even harpers admit, it can be a hard family to love. Portland's Rob Hoffman has been coming to the festival for 5 years.
For me, this is a matter of personal taste. I don't like hearing like hours and hours of Jew's harp as a solo. It gets kind of old. But what it does is when played with other instruments, it's like the gravy on the potatoes. It adds inflection. It adds something unexpected. It adds a counterpoint.
And for just a few loud days in August, this unexpected, twangy little global instrument gets a chance to take the spotlight. From the North American Jew's Harp Festival in Bay City, Oregon, I'm Dina Pritchett.